Blog Talk Radio.
Hotep, welcome to the Cure to Read Room. You've got your Omiika live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani to my old friends and saying welcome, welcome to my new friends. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Excuse me. As we feature another lifeline, can I throw you out a lifeline? We're talking about spiritual things. And you certainly want to join us for this segment. And if you have not locked that dial in, why don't you go ahead and lock it in at 646-478-0270. Lock it in. Lock it in right now and keep it right there, Lil G. We want to send a shout out to Harambe Radio Station by saying, go ahead on Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. And we'd like to also welcome you to our chat room. Our chat rooms are now open. If you care to feature and be a part of our chat room, you certainly can, but we encourage you to come into the room and make a phone call and call us and give us your input on our topic. We're talking about Lifeline, and ladies and gentlemen, the billboard is reading the same information about a show we've already had, but we're talking about lifelines, and we're talking about the one topic that we made up yesterday about material things, and what are you making your God, and what are you worshiping? Now, we featured that show earlier, but we just like to do a recap of that show and letting you know that we will be talking about this subject possibly up until the end of next week, and then we'll start a brand new topic. And if you like to be a part of our show, certainly join us. We'd love to have you. Now, I'm going to take a station identification, and I'll be right back, get you in the atmosphere. But until then, we're going to get a drum roll to come out here and bring us in with a drum roll. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Our drummers are always here helping us to bring us into our station identification. Going to do a little house cleaning. We'll be right back at you in a minute. Stay tuned. Come right in as we stand in our care to read room, we go over to our talking care area with our hands in position to receive from our higher self. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I use the term higher self, because I don't really know what a lot of people are worshiping these days. And some people get very offended when you use different terms. So if you're worshiping the same God that I have normally talked to you about, there's only but one God, and that God is also an essence of you, and he has already been placed inside of you. And you must remember, we call him Ori. But because some people don't call him that, I call him your higher self. Now, as we stand at attention, we like to pour libation, first of all, to God, who we represent, and we are the essence of God. So I like to pour libation to Oladulamare by saying Ashe. I like to pour libation to my mother's spirit, Yaminye, representing my mother, Clara Jenkins, Ashe. And I like to pour libation to my father's spirit, Obatala, by saying Ashe, representing my father's spirit, Robert Jenkins. And I like to pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, Ashe. I pour libations to the west, Ashe. And I pour libations to the east, Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, we acknowledge all of our ancestors and our heroes and sheroes. But for those of you who would like to call on your personal ancestors first, go ahead and do so. And I'd like to call on my mother's spirit, Clara Jenkins, Robert Jenkins Ashe. I call Eshelie Pope Ashe, Eugene Lilly Ashe, George Lilly Ashe, Sam Lilly Ashe, Tommy Pete Harvey, Tom Harvey Ashe, Marvin Jenkins Ashe, Eugene Lilly Ashe, Clara Jenkins Ashe. And you may call on your personal loved ones, too. And we like to call on our heroes and sheroes. We call on Nina Simone Ashe. We call on Sheikh Esdia. We call on Dr. Carruthers Ashe, Dr. Martin Luther King Ashe, and Sweet Coretta King Ashe. We like to call on these heroes because they are the ones that lifted us up, and they're the soul total and the sum total of why we're here yet today. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank God for everything that he's done for us, and we know that we're just a butt by the grace of God. And without God's grace, we are not able to carry on. And we're going to continue to talk about communal living and communal lifestyle. And I keep reminding the African Americans of our heritage and our culture, because we tend to forget all about our great culture, and we try to carry on life leading and directing our lives through someone else's heritage, and we keep failing at it. And we don't realize when you come from a great heritage, we can reach back in the Akashic records and draw from those aesthetics that we have in our treasure chest. But it's very difficult when we are carrying out someone else's heritage. And as I remind you continuously that we have a rich culture, I'd like to take you back to the culture so that we can begin to look at why are we not faring well in situations such as economic, in marriage, in raising our children, and now we're looking at we are lacking a spiritual lifeline. And that was something that African Americans were known for having, our spiritual side of them. We were very heavily into our belief systems in the spirit, and we've lost that connection by way of reconnecting ourselves to the media and allowing our tubes to dictate to us and guide us. We've really not been able to hear the sound of the spirit because we're hearing the voice of another drummer. Now, I want to bring your attention to the fact that I'm not an expert on none of the subjects, and I don't profess to be, but each and every one of us could tell our own story about what our faith is and what has brought us to this point, believing in faith, in spirit. And because I'm throwing you a lifeline out, I'm asking you to take hold and to regroup and go back to your own source of living and lifestyle. And as we look at What are the things that will make us communal and spiritual? We have to say that we have become an individual and disconnected from our mother spirit, disconnected ourselves from our communal living and lifestyle. But we have to hold on to the lifeline and remember that we always spoke with one voice, and usually African Americans came together to decipher and go over what it was we believed in, and we spoke with that one voice whenever we made a presence in the community. Now we're looking at so many people with individualities and everyone wanting to stand alone, and that we know that when you are standing alone, it's easy to break you down. A threefold cord is not easily broken, and that is why there's unity in numbers. And when we come together in unity, we have a communal setting. And what we have to remember is that our skin tone will not change. And no matter how elegant we may learn to speak, or how our accent may leave us, and how we may be able to regurgitate the king's language, it does not change who we are as a people. And as a people, you will remain black until you go to the grave. So you must understand that adapting someone else's culture and someone else's lifestyle does not change who you are. But it's very important to understand that speaking elegant and speaking correct grammar is very important, and it doesn't belong to the king, but it belongs to the etiquette and grammatical language of itself. Now, I want to talk about what can we do to make a big change in a short length of time. Elders right now are faring fairly well. Those who have worked and slaved and developed their pensions, they're going to be faring very well about now, because there's programs that are there put in place to protect them. But a lot of our young people are dying off faster than ever before. Some of the statistics shows that they don't project most of the young people to live past 25. However, the young people already know this, and they will tell you this, but we want to change that projection. We want to save their lives, and we want them to speak life over their situation. And the only way you can speak life over your situation, you have to know what's in store, and you have to know what your past is. You cannot create your future for yourself without knowing your past. That is why you see the Sankofa bird always looking over its shoulder, trying to grasp what the past was to rebuild the future. Africans believe in the past and the future. We are in the now, we know, and we must remain in the now until we manifest ourselves into the future. But for the benefit of those who say our past doesn't matter and it's not important to regroup and look at our past, I say contrary. It is very important to look at your past, because it's going to take a bit of your past to recreate your future. And as we look at where we've come from and where we have to go, a lot of people say we've made many strides. A lot of people say we've come over a lot of mountains. A lot of people say we've even made it. But there's a lot more traveling that we have to do, and a lot more accomplishments, because we're slipping back into darkness as I sit here and talk right now. Some of the main accomplishments that were made in the civil rights movement, we've actually gone backwards. Some of the accomplishments that Dr. Martin Luther King has even made, we've actually reversed some of those situations. Now, how do you hold on to the accomplishments of the civil rights movement? And how do you make new strides for the decade to come? We have got to make sure that the African Americans are going to fit into society. A lot of folks are saying that there is word out on the streets that there may not be a need for African Americans anymore, and that a new race of people may be hearted in, and they may be the new minorities, because we no longer are picking cotton, and there's no need to have slaves to pick cotton. And peony has already been found out, so those few slaves that were still in the movement of slaving and working as slaves, they're now freed. And our basketball and our athletes who entertain, that is the one thing that is we're hoping that they're still holding on to, because they just can't get a Michael Jordan to leave here and some of the other outstanding athletes to leave, because they cannot see themselves without those athletes. Now, nevertheless, that's not enough to keep us in the driver's seat, to keep us as their so-called top minority. I want to talk to you about that term minority and how and why so many African Americans don't realize that that is a play on words. As you go from geographical area over the map, excuse me, you will see in every continent that Africans have made their presence. And by no means can a continent in all of the continents that has a presence of Africans call themselves a minority. Hold tight. By no means can they call themselves a minority, because they have a presence in all of the continents that might even make us a majority. But when you have psyched someone else out about a concept for so long, and that's all they can conceive, no matter if you brought them the proof and evidence, because they've already been brainwashed with another philosophy, it does not mean that they will accept the newfound documented information. But nevertheless, I think we need to stop calling ourselves a minority. Some people have actually taken that word and used that word so many times that most Africans can figure out who you're talking about. So now there's code words on that. instead of saying minorities, there are other code words on there, like porch monkeys, Rodney King, and lower socioeconomics, instead of minorities. So when you take words, ladies and gentlemen, and use them, you empower these words. So I want us to stop using the word minorities. We are a majority. You don't have to take my word for it. Go check the statistics on it. In every continent, there is a presence of Africans living there or previously having lived there in the past. And they are not Johnny come lately on the scenes. They have been there for a while. As a matter of fact, they can't even document when there was a time when the African was not here on this earth. So when we change our tone and change our belief system, we change our conditions. African Americans are in the worst condition that they have ever been in before. We're in such a bad condition that even when Roosevelt said, keep up the V sign, and he gave us a deal, he gave us the real deal, a chicken in every pot, that's when the Depression was on and times were very hard, but he stepped in and made a change. Now, we have gone lower than a refugee since that time, and there are a number of people who are crying out, who are marching, who are petitioning, who are advocating for so many different causes on behalf of the African American. But when you talk about language and you talk about immigrants and protecting our borders, and we still see large amount of immigrants coming into this country, Where does that leave African American people? Are we still a minority? Are we climbing up the ladder to be a majority? Are we beneath those immigrants, and now we can probably consider ourselves refugees? Well, refugees, I was told through living in Europe, by the country of Germany, they were mandated to take care of their refugees and to house them and support them financially. Refugees were well taken care of in Europe. But African Americans are no longer able to receive subsidies for welfare unless they're going to get out and work for them in order to receive funds for their children through welfare. But a refugee can come here in this country and live better than a previous class of people who helped to build the railroads and who helped to build the country. They no longer are even entitled to welfare. So they suffer by living under the bridges, sleeping under the nightlight, sleeping outdoors. They have no resources or income. The government is working very hard, I know, to clear up some of these problems. But at the same time, you have homes being taken away and boarded up, and people living outside of those homes. But yet, nevertheless, you still have immigrants coming in this country wanting a piece of the apple pie, the all-American dream to own their own business. And they're very smart for wanting to do that. We're the only ones who've got to wake up and realize the only thing worthwhile happening in this country is not another job and is not working for someone, but a piece of the apple pie. To get a piece of the apple pie would mean to have the all-American dream. But yet, you ask yourself, are we truly African-Americans? To be African-Americans would mean that we would have entitlement to a piece of the all-American dream. I say to Obama, quit trying to create programs to create jobs when they're constantly taking them abroad and setting them up on offshore continents. Go ahead and show our people how to incorporate their dreams, no matter how small they are. Show us by giving us a program or a referendum that will help those small businessmen to establish himself in his own line of business so that he can incorporate and have a bit of the all-American dream. The young men and women who are coming out of college, they have figured this thing out. They no longer want a job. They want a corporation. They want a yacht. They want to own their own business. Because they know that during the course of the time that they own their own business, they have a far better chance of doing well in 7 years than they do in waiting for someone to put them on their payroll. Because if you're in a right-to-work state, your job could be taken from you, no questions asked. The rug is pulled from under you, and you're back where you started. And if you're lucky, you can get on unemployment, but after your weeks run out, you're back at square one. It would be far better to take that energy and put it into building a corporation and praying and hoping that your first 7 years you have a profit. But we've got to do something different, because I'm throwing you a lifeline out, and right now the majority of most people are living from paycheck to paycheck, and they need a lifeline. They need a lifeline because they figure if the government doesn't come up with another program, then they might be doomed. But how can you doom a people that helped to build this continent? And we say we're African Americans. We want a part of the all-American dream, a slice of that apple pie. When you have foreigners that know your country better than you do and know what we have to offer, when they tell you, well, I came here to fulfill my dream. I want a piece of the apple pie. They know exactly what they're looking for, and they know how they plan to get it. And sometimes we even open the door for them to get it. And what does a black person say? I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Just open up the door. I can get it myself. We're still saying that. We don't want no welfare. We don't want no handouts. We don't want no food stamp. We don't want another cell phone. We don't want nobody to give us nothing. Just open up the door, and we can get it ourselves. Sing it with me. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Just open up the door, and I'll get it myself. If you can open up the door, Obama, just open the door, and we can get it ourselves. Somebody's got to open the door. Don't you hear them knocking? They're knocking from every end of this globe, asking for an opportunity to develop themselves. Black folks are not lazy. They have never been lazy. They have represented the dual card credit card for the slave owner. They have worked from sunup to sundown. You have transported Africans all over the globe as if they were a walking credit card. They've never been lazy. They've always wanted to work for their own. Even during sharecropping, they sharecropped for their masters, even though they never got paid. We've got the end of the stick on everything. And no referendums were put out there to talk about the sharecroppers who worked and never got paid for. No referendum was put out there about reparation, who they say we don't need it and not deserving of it. But why are so many people still getting reparation now? As a matter of fact, when Lincoln freed the slaves, the first person that got reparation were white males in power who were slave owners and who owned slaves. They had to pay them reparation in order to end the war, in order to free the slaves, which was all of their work. Excuse me. When they freed the slaves, they took away the workers, so those who owned slaves could no longer make the money they used to make. And in order to satisfy those southerners in the South, they had to give them the first reparation. If you don't believe me, go look on the books. It's in the records. They had to give those who owned slaves a reparation, a sedative to soothe things over in order to release the slaves. Lincoln didn't want to release the slaves. He made a deal, but he had all of the rich men in power against him in order for it to go well with him and his family and his household. He had to do like the rich men in power asked him. So reparation was given to them. Now, here you see a large number of blacks who you're saying if we give them something to get on their feet to start their business, then they'll just give it back to us. Well, I say if you set them up in business, then by and large, they can prove themselves to you. If you give them opportunities to become incorporated and to establish themselves, don't give any more unemployment. For what? So that you can be in a deficit and borrowing money? Give them the money that they normally would get to establish themselves in a righteous business. Then you can look back and see small business reestablishing themselves all over the continent with black men and women heading up their own edifices and their own small businesses. We've got to start from somewhere. And we can no longer keep with this nonsense and this cycle of welfare, the cycle of unemployment, and the cycle of foreclosing of homes. It is a vicious cycle that's going nowhere. And those of us who have gained understanding of what's happening, we have come to some conclusion that America is sick, and we need an antidote to help it get well. Because a large portion of us young people who are coming out of school and having to pay these loans back, these loans are superseding what the jobs will be able to pay. So in essence, some of them may not ever pay these loans back, and they know it. So they're wondering what is happening to our continent that is allowing so many immigrants to come in and to make bank on our continent. To make bank on our continent and to fare and do well. To come into the ghettos and set up shop and businesses in our ghettos when we can't even get loans and can't even get funding to set up our own businesses in our own community. Well, I think that there's a deficit on what is owed to the African American. And Obama, I'm speaking on behalf of, if you want to know what I think, and you might not want to know, but I'm saying it anyway. Our black people need to have a voice to tell you just what it is they want. They don't want nobody to give them nothing. Just open up the door and we'll get it ourselves. Give us some opportunities to reestablish ourselves. Even those who have master's degrees, they are out of work. And those who are still in school don't project that they might even have a position when they come out. Those jobs are long gone, and we know it. They're overseas somewhere and lower-paying jobs. So let's face it. Let's stop with the nonsense, and let's talk about real probability of putting America back to work and having a society of people that want to work and that are able to do it because we don't want nobody to give us nothing. Just open up the door, and we can get it ourselves. You've been listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister, and I thank you for listening to me. I'm throwing you out a lifeline for those of you who still can hold on. I say hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. There's a lifeline coming, and a change is about to come. A change is about to come because Obama himself knows that the black people have cried out too much, and a change has got to come. A lifeline is going to be thrown out there. So for those of you who can hold on to that lifeline. But remember, we are communal people, and we must speak with one voice, because when you speak with one voice, you then begin to challenge the fold, and you then begin to realize that your one voice will make a difference.
The moment is the message, God, take it, the message to our brothers and sisters.
See you on Wednesday.
for unity.
Come in with your question. We'd love to have you. We say O Davo and Baba Booey to you, y'all. Stay tuned for our next show on Wednesday. Bye-bye.